That's me, Harold Ramis. I directed Groundhog Day in 1992, my sixth collaboration with Bill Murray. The music you're hearing, composed by George Fenton, was an attempt at a Nino Rota-style piece. We thought Nino Rota went great with comedy, so this is George's version of Nino Rota. Let's listen.
Somebody asked me today, Phil, if you could be anywhere in the world, where would you like to be?
The scene you're about to see, Bill Murray as a weatherman, was actually a reshoot, shot a couple of months after we finished principal photography on the movie, edited the picture, put it together, and realized that people wanted to know a little bit more about how Bill's character, Phil, got to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and why he was there. So it gave us a chance to introduce Bill and kind of tease his relationship with Andy McDowell.
Oh, boy. Front coming our way. Look out. What's that going to mean to us here in the Three Rivers area? One of these big blue things. This
Bill had a lot of fun with the chroma key stuff.
This big mass coming out of the north. It's going to meet up with all of this moisture coming up out of the Gulf. Going to mix together at high altitudes and cause some snow. Going out on a limb now. Not going to hit us here in Pittsburgh. Going to push off and hit Altoona. Close call, folks. Let's take a look at the 5-day. As you can see, nothing to be too scared about. Bundle up warm, of course. But I think you can leave your galoshes at home. I'm not going to be here for the 10 o'clock. Tomorrow is Groundhog Day, and I'm going out to Punxsutawney for our country's oldest groundhog festival. So, as you know, according to the legend, tomorrow, February 2nd, if the groundhog wakes and sees his shadow, we've got 6 more weeks.
This is an actress named Carol Bivens who I like very much.
Sounds like a lot of fun. You must really enjoy it. This is your 3rd year in a row, isn't it, Phil?
4, Nan. 4.
Thanks.
He calls her hairdo later.
Up next.
He says, for your information, the hairdo.
Kingman looks at sex and violence in the movies. Stay with
us. We're clear.
Fun in Punxsutawney, Phil.
For your information, hairdo, there is a major network interested in me.
And the actor with the glasses, Willie Garson, is a regular on some TV show. Was it Sex and the City? I think it is. He's in Sex and the City.
Yeah. Listen, if for any reason you don't want to rush back, I can do
it. He's a good actor.
Oh, come on. I want to stay an extra second in Punxsutawney, please.
Look, Rita thinks it would be a great idea to stay around for some of the other events, you know, get some incredible footage, the people and the fun, the excitement.
We had toyed with other kinds of devices to introduce Bill's character and to kind of suggest why this curse was put on him. We had him with a disaffected lover at the TV station, and she curses him. And none of that stuff made any sense, and we thought the audience doesn't really need to know why he's getting trapped in this upcoming time warp. But and here comes the song Weatherman, which I co-wrote with George Fenton. We wrote the lyrics together. I became an ASCAP member for having written this, and I get royalties now of like 45 cents. George Fenton is an Academy Award winning British composer. He did the score for Gandhi, so we thought he'd be good for this because of the obvious connection between Gandhi and Groundhog Day. Pembroke Herring is an editor I've worked with many, many times, starting with National Lampoon's Vacation. David Nichols is a brilliant set designer. This is Pittsburgh. I never actually went there. We had a second unit do these shots. And this is on the drive, the actual road up to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, which we didn't use in the movie because Punxsutawney itself did not have a real town center that looked very good on camera. So we wanted a town that looked perfect. So the town you'll see is Woodstock, Illinois.
The groundhog together.
I don't understand what's wrong with the Groundhog Festival.
And Chris Elliott, we were so happy to get him. I thought he was so funny on the Letterman show. That's pretty much what he'd done up to that point.
I think it's a nice story. Comes out.
And Andy McDowell, we hired on the basis of a wonderful movie that not too many people saw called Object of Beauty, a film made by British director Michael Lindsay Hogg. I'd liked her in her other stuff, but she was really wonderful in Object of Beauty. It's a John Malkovich film.
I want you to look in the mirror and see what you look like when you do that little groundhog thing, okay? For me, let's see. He comes out. And there, he lifts his little shadow. Would you like some blood sausage? I have some here in the glove compartment.
I like blood sausage.
Been dead, gone, stay when I'm done. That don't mean a thing, 'cause I'm the one.
We scouted all of southern Wisconsin and northern Illinois looking for the perfect town. And we pulled into Woodstock just the way this van is pulling in. It was the last town we saw, and we looked at this little town square, and we thought, oh, this is perfect. This is what Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania should look like. That's a courthouse where a very famous case was tried. There's a jail attached to it, the lighter-colored building. Eugene Debs, father of American socialism, was tried there and defended by Clarence Darrow. We play this as a hotel. It's actually a beautifully restored opera house. The scene was done on a freezing cold day. The square there's a wind tunnel effect. The wind circulates counterclockwise, and it was freezing cold on that particular corner. It was much colder than anywhere else in the square. And I remember on this day, Andy started to, her face was actually starting to freeze. We had to stop shooting at a certain point.
I booked you in a very nice bed and breakfast in Cherry Street.
Great. You know, I think this is one of
that's
the
an Armani overcoat that really Bill is wearing, producer. Which I
keep
kept
the
after the show.
Anything I can do?
Would you help me with my pelvic tilt?
Within reason. Would you like to come to dinner with Larry and me?
Bill's great. Even when Bill does scripted material, he'll always add something that's so surprising or unexpected. Part of our whole rapport together was him making me laugh and me thinking of bizarre ideas that would that he could actually wrap his warped brain around. That's supposed to be a bed and breakfast in Woodstock. It was actually a private house. The family that lived there was so happy to have us there. But these interiors were built on in a warehouse makeshift stage in Crystal Lake, Illinois. The song I Got You, Babe was in every draft of the script from Danny Rubin's original script. And that's how the project came to me, as a spec script by Danny, who had been living in Chicago. And he's something of a Zen Buddhist, and the script really was very touching. At first, I didn't want to read it when I just heard the premise. I thought it sounded kind of thin and formulaic. And then Trevor Albert, my producing partner, who's worked with me since 1978, he started as a production assistant on Caddyshack. He convinced me to read it. He said it's really much deeper, more spiritual, more touching than you could imagine. So I read it, and I really loved it. So I rewrote it by myself, and then did some, polished it off with Danny Rubin, and we shared writing credit, and then we enlisted Bill, who seemed to connect pretty well with the material. This is a fine actor named Ken Hudson Campbell, or Campbell Hudson.
Good guess!
Ken Hudson Campbell, Man in Hallway. He became one of the marking device we use to mark time, which is a good thing.
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors?
I slept alone, Mrs. Lancaster.
Would you like some coffee?
I don't suppose there's any possibility of getting an espresso or a cappuccino.
Her name is Angela Patton.
I really don't know
how to spell espresso or cappuccino. This looks fine.
I hope you enjoyed the festivities.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I'm glad to.
There's talk of a blizzard.
Well, we may catch a break, and that blizzard's going to blow right by us. All of this moisture.
Bill had kind of divided his character into bad Phil and good Phil. And whenever we'd start a scene, he'd say, all right, am I bad Phil or good Phil? It's like he hadn't even read the script or something. Well, of course he had, but he sometimes had trouble keeping track of where he was. So this is where we're establishing bad Phil.
Did you want to talk about the weather, or were you just making chit-chat?
Chit-chat.
See you later. Bye.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
Chance of departure today, 100%.
Did I mention I kept that overcoat? This is Stephen Tobolowsky, who made us laugh so hard in his audition reading that we hired him on the spot.
Hey, hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as hell...
Now, the homeless man in the background, of course, Les Podwell, becomes very important in the story later on. But the Ned Ryerson character, it read great in the script, and Steve just, he was overwhelmingly obnoxious in his audition.
Button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate.
The other thing that people who are real fans of the movie should notice the backgrounds, because our first assistant director, Mike Haley, was fanatic about making sure that the background extras, the cars going by, that everything matched perfectly. As Phil progressed from day to day.
I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Do you have life insurance?
So the same people cross at exactly the same time, the same cars go by. It's very well timed out.
Ned, I would love to stand here and talk with you, but I'm not going to. See you.
Hey, that's all right. I'll walk with you. You know, whenever
the town of Woodstock was so transformed by our presence there. At a certain point, I thought I could have been elected mayor of Woodstock. Except for that, see the sign Lloyd's in the back there? They were very unhappy with us. They tried to charge us a couple $100,000 for lost business. I don't think they'd make that much money in a year.
What are you doing for dinner?
Something else. It's been great seeing you, Needlehead. Take care.
Now, this puddle Bill steps in, we actually dug a lot of cobbles out and made that made that puddle. But the town of Woodstock has since put plaques all over. This is where Bill Murray stepped in the puddle, and this is where this happened, this is where that happened. In the actual Punxsutawney, the Groundhog Day ceremony takes place in a park outside the town, more like a forest preserve. But one thing we loved about the central square of Woodstock was that we could do the Groundhog ceremony right here. The Groundhog Pavilion, that's a large gazebo that already existed, but the Groundhog Pavilion that Bill is making his way toward now is an exact copy of what they have in Punxsutawney. They actually sent delegates from Punxsutawney to see how we were doing, if we were portraying the Groundhog ceremony accurately. They were very jealous that the movie wasn't shot in Punxsutawney, but when they saw Woodstock, they actually thought it looked a lot better than their own town.
And they get warm, and then they come back and they sing some more.
Yeah, they're hicks, Rita. So, you sleep okay without me? You tossed and turned, didn't you?
You're incredible.
Who told you?
I love Andy. She has this terrific emotional honesty. She seems so smart, and everything she portrays seems so deeply felt. I just loved watching her while we were making the film. Now, right over Bill's shoulder are the Groundhog officials. And our principal Groundhog official, of course, is Brian Doyle Murray, who I've worked with since 1968, and is one of Bill's older brothers. They're six Murray brothers. Brian is number two in birth order. Bill is number three in the order of the brothers.
That's the same old schtick every year. The guy comes out with
Brian about to knock on the door.
They pull the little rat out.
And the man about to open the door is the Groundhog Wrangler. His name is Hoffman. He lives in the Chicago area. He can provide any animal you want. He actually does kids' birthday parties now. I saw him last fall doing a kids' birthday party.
The prominent upper teeth.
But he actually raised a family of groundhogs for the production. He got a mating couple, and we had six babies also.
This February 2nd at 7:20 and 30 seconds, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers.
And of course, Brian's birthday is Halloween night. A lot of people don't know that, October 30th.
Emerge reluctantly but alertly in Punxsutawney, PA.
We had about 400 extras. It was very cold when we were shooting all this stuff. Maybe 500 people in that square, but they were very patient. We kept having giveaways. We would about every hour we'd give away $100, which kept people standing there.
On me in 3, 2, 1. This is one time where television really fails to capture the true excitement of a large squirrel predicting the weather.
I, for one, am very grateful to have been here. From Punxsutawney, this is Phil Connors. So long.
Okay, you want to try it again without the sarcasm?
We got it.
I think the great thing about this as a character for Bill Murray is that it actually, I think it feels genuine to people. I think there is a nasty side of Bill that, you know, he wasn't afraid to reveal in this film. And there's a tremendously generous and wise, knowing side that that he comes to later, which is all, as genuine in Bill as the nasty guy. This is a created blizzard. This blizzard was... It was actually a day in the 40s. It was kind of slushy, but we covered the hillsides with white blankets. We laid down. We had an ice-making machine, and we just kept putting ice out there till it built up pretty well. We had a Ritter fans blowing the snow into Bill's face. I hired my cousin to be a PA. His whole job was to sit up on that overpass and shake the no parking signs like the wind was blowing hard. And soon after left the movie business.
We got a major storm here. I make the weather.
And this cop was revoiced in post-production. You're actually hearing the voice of Renny Santoni, who's quite a good actor. Sometimes you hire an extra who doesn't really act very well, or their voice doesn't sound good, so you revoice them with another actor in post-production.
I'm thinking. Come on. All the long-distance lines are down.
I love this dialogue here.
What about the satellite?
Because I wrote it, probably.
Is it snowing in space?
Is it snowing in space? Great
Don't
line.
Don't you have some kind of a line that you keep open for emergencies?
Or celebrities? I'm both.
I'm both.
I'm a celebrity in an emergency.
Can you patch me through on that line, please?
Cheap to shovel hit, but necessary.
Could I have one more of these with some booze in it, please?
Now, this bar is actually in another location, in a restaurant in the courthouse.
Groundhog dinner?
No, I had groundhog for lunch. Wasn't
bad. The interesting thing about this restaurant is they use the old jail for seating in the restaurant. You actually, the booths are in jail cells. It's a very pleasant way to eat.
That's so funny, Phil.
So what are you going to do?
I think I'm going to go back to my room and take a hot shower and maybe read a little Hustler.
Suit yourself.
Oh, God!
Bill got really mad at me one day when we were shooting the shower stuff, and he wouldn't come out of the shower.
Yo, Mom, isn't there any hot water?
Oh, no, there wouldn't be today.
Of course not. It's silly, isn't
it? Sweet dreams.
Day two. These are the voices of these disc jockeys. They're actually two Chicago disc jockeys that we brought in. They might have been actors, actually, just pretending to be disc jockeys. I can't quite remember.
Oh, well, here's the report. The National Weather Service is calling for...
It's a good-looking set, though. David Nichols did a beautiful job, and we had a wonderful set decorator named Lisa Fisher. I tried to get her to actually do my house, but she was busy. In the original script, Danny Rubin's script, there was no... we didn't see Bill discover this that the day was repeating. His script began with a voiceover and Phil already trapped in the time warp telling us, the audience, that what had happened to him. And one of the biggest changes I made in the script was to start to show Phil discovering this whole process. I thought it would be... we'd really be cheating the audience not to let them see his reaction to this strange phenomenon of having the day repeat.
February 2nd, Groundhog Day.
Yeah. course, I'd actually told Danny Rubin that I loved the fact that he just started right in the middle with the device already occurring, and that's one thing I would never change. I promised him that. And, of course, it was the first thing I changed. Of course, for the economy of the shooting schedule, you shoot scenes in the same location sequentially and all at the same time. So Bill had the, as an actor, he had the advantage of playing these scenes with her, like one right after the other, so he could sort of progress his attitude without having to remember what he did in on the previous day.
No, that's okay. Thank you.
Will you be checking out today, Mr. Connors?
I'd say the chance of departure is 80%. 75-80. Excuse me. Where's everybody going?
To Gobbler's Knob.
She will turn up later as his piano teacher.
It's still just once a year, isn't it?
Her name is Peggy Roeder.
Hey! Bill? Bill? Hey! Oh, Bill Connors! I thought that was you. My, oh my, Bill Connors. Now, don't you say you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing! Oh, first shot right out of the box! So, how's it going?
If it looks cold on these days, that's because it was. We did all the exterior, because it all had to look like the same day, we had to get all the exterior work in while it still looked like winter, before any trees in the town started to bud, before the skies cleared up too much. So we did a lot of it right in the coldest time of the year in northern Illinois, which is very cold.
You want to know something? I got the feeling you ain't got any. Am I right or am I right? Or am I right? Am I right?
I got to go.
Phil! Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
And that's the Pennsylvania polka you're hearing, which really became annoying after a while. I thought Bill did this so well. I saw him on interviewed on Larry King, and he said, Larry King said, Bill, Groundhog Day. And Bill said, well, it's probably the best work I've ever done, and probably the best work Harold will ever do. So he probably not only put the cap on his own career, but on mine as well.
Drunk's more fun. Can I be serious with you for a minute?
I don't know. Can you?
Yes, I'm being serious. I'm having a problem.
That was also the first of many times Bill gets slapped in the movie.
Rita.
Groundhog time.
See? I knew you were going to say that. I really feel weird.
Let's just do this, Bill. Then we'll talk.
All right, on me in three.
We actually had many more repeated events. In fact, we shot a piece where the groundhog actually runs away, and Bill's character knows where it's going and is right there with the camera, but it just didn't. It wasn't necessary to have that much detail.
This is a riot. Oh, isn't he cute?
This February 2nd at 7:20:30, Punxsutawney Phil, the seer of seers, prognosticator of prognosticators, emerged reluctantly, but alertly, in Punxsutawney. Ha! Woo! Oh, my gosh!
Yeah, sport, I know there's a blizzard. When are the long-distance lines going to be repaired? Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today. Hello?
We had done a device where he completely trashes his room to prove to himself that the next day everything is back the way it was. We had him like literally, you know, spray painting the walls and destroying the bed and slashing pillows and feathers everywhere. And then we had him take a razor and shave his head right down the middle. And he wakes up in the morning. We were going to pull back off that clock. And then zoom into the clock and then pull back off the clock and see that everything was just the same as it had been. Well, when we shot it, it didn't look like anything was the same. Things had moved. We couldn't do this match dissolve that we were going to do. So we realized, actually, that breaking a pencil and having it restored said everything that we needed to say with it. But now he knows that things are that the day is starting over and that whatever he did will be undone. And of course, this shorthand takes over at this point. He doesn't have to stop and talk to her. We know exactly what she would have said. There's the woman, there's the piano teacher with the red bag. She doesn't have to talk to him now. There's the bum who's going to put his hand out. Now he doesn't even have to stop. And here's the pinnacle of that, is just shoving Ned in.
You don't remember me because I sure as heck fire remember you. It's me, Ned Ryerson. Meet on those, Ned. Ned the head. Come on, buddy. Case, what's her name? Hey!
Bill! Bill, over here! Where have you been?
Can I talk to you about a matter that is not work-related?
You never talk about work.
We really have to talk. Come on. Hey! It's a creative meeting. Forget it.
Wait a second. We've got work to do.
No, I don't. I've already done it twice. Now, when you get finished, come and meet me in the diner.
Phil!
What's that all about?
I don't know.
The diner was an empty storefront on the corner, and we turned it into the Tip Top.
More coffee, hon?
And that's Robin Duke, who I've known for many years. She was an actress at Second City. She's a wonderful actress. I've used her in other films as well. How about the subtlety of having the clocks on the wall right over Phil's shoulder there?
Okay, now tell me why you're too sick to work and it better be good.
But this diner looked so tasty that the town wanted to keep it and actually tried to make a go of it, but it didn't stay.
Okay, I'm waiting for the punchline.
No, really, this is the third time. It's like yesterday never happened.
I am racking my brain, but I can't even begin to imagine why you'd make up something.
We worried when the film went foreign that no one in the rest of the world would know what Groundhog Day was. Of course they don't, but the movie kind of explains itself. We didn't even know if they'd know what a groundhog was.
Get your head examined if you expect me to believe a stupid story like that, Phil.
Phil? Like the groundhog, Phil?
Yeah.
And that's Rick Dukeman, who's a great stand-up comedian, and Rick Overton with him, who's another great stand-up comedian.
Your bus is leaving.
Morons, your bus is leaving. That's a line I use frequently now.
Stay ahead of the weather.
I think Bill improvised that line.
I'm not going back to Pittsburgh.
Why not?
Because of the blizzard.
I thought you said that was going to hit off.
When the film was released foreign, it had some interesting titles. In Brazil, it was called The Black Hole of Love.
That's what I've been saying, Rita. I need...
Of course, in German, it was Täglich grüßt der Murmeltier. That's me. The reason I'm in the movie is because in case it rains, you need cover sets. This was one of the only cover sets we had. It's actually just a two-wall set, the wall behind Bill and the wall that had the X-rays on it. And it's actually 2:30 in the morning when we're shooting that scene. It's pitch dark outside. Of course, this is on a stage. And when you have a cover set, you need to have a cover actor standing by. So generally, you try to have someone in the production, and that was my big moment. This is a wonderful actor named David Pasquazi, another Second City actor.
Families, I have an alcoholic now.
Well, you went to college, right? I mean, it wasn't veterinary psychology, was it? Didn't you take some kind of course that covered this stuff?
Yeah, sort of, I guess.
You'll hear David's voice in a lot of McDonald's commercials, among others. He has quite a good voiceover career, actually.
We should meet again. How's tomorrow for you?
I took a Lake Michigan boat tour.
Is that not good?
And the recorded narrative voice was David's. This is the actual bowling alley in Woodstock, Illinois.
I was in the Virgin Islands once. I met a girl. We ate lobster, drank pina coladas. At sunset, we made love like sea otters. That was a pretty good day. Why couldn't I get that day over and over?
You know, some guys would look at this glass and they would say, you know, that glass is half empty. Other guys would say, that glass is half full.
There's a great cartoon in a recent New Yorker. The guy saying, waiter, my glass is half empty.
What would you do if you were stuck in one place and every day was exactly the same and nothing that you did mattered?
Now that sums it up for me.
This movie spoke to people on a lot of levels. We're about to see Bill go on a rampage and realize there are no consequences to his actions, which we always thought was the adolescent part of the movie. Teenagers think there are no consequences to what they do. They think they're going to live forever, and they don't really see a future for themselves often.
Really? Okay, you're all right.
The spiritual community responded to this film in an unprecedented way. I heard of it, there were Hasidic Jews picketing outside the theater, not against the movie, but they were holding up signs saying, are you living the same day over and over again? And then I started getting letters from the Zen Buddhist community and the yoga community and the fundamentalist Christian community and the psychoanalytic community. And everyone claiming that this was their philosophy and that I must be one of them for having made this movie.
Hey, who else could go for some flapjacks right now?
The car is, whenever I talk to people about what directing is, I use this car as an example because first the whole directing process begins with someone saying, what kind of car do you want? And I say, well, I want a big red convertible. And they say, well, do you want it in good shape or bad shape? And I say, sort of bad shape. And they bring you a car, and they say, is this the right color? And you say, yeah. And they say, do you want it rusty? And you say, yeah, rusty, but not too rusty. And they say, where do you want the rust? And you say, you want it around the wheel wells. And they say, should it be dirty? And you say, yeah. And they say, well, you want the dirt. Should it be black dirt or gray dirt or brown dirt? You say, well, I want brown dirt. And then the same car keeps coming back. And like it or not, you have to make all these decisions as a director.
I want you to stop. Hang on.
Our one night of driving stunts on the movie.
The same thing your whole life. Clean up your room, stand up straight, pick up your feet, take it like a man. Be nice to your sister.
A lot of this isn't in the script. It's just Bill and I working stuff out as we do it.
Don't drive on the railroad track.
Well, Bill, that's one I happen to agree with.
No, Gus. Sometimes I think you just have to take the big chances.
Hey, we're talking in here.
Bill?
Yeah. I'm betting he's going to swerve first.
I forgot how we got a train to actually do this. But we did.
I'm not going to live by their rules anymore.
This is the big moment of discovery.
You make choices and you live with them.
He just realizes there's nothing anyone can do to him that's going to make any difference.
Oh, my knee.
Let me handle this.
Yeah, 3 cheeseburgers, 2 large fries, 2 chocolate shakes, 1 large Coke.
And some flapjacks.
Too early for flapjacks?
And that is the jail where the restaurant. We had to take the dining table out of the jail cell. Because he wakes up, and it's the same day.
Yes,
no consequences.
Oh, rise and shine, campers! Don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today.
It's cold out there every day.
Now he knows he feels so empowered by this. He doesn't realize yet that it's a trap.
Oh, hey.
Slept like a baby, thank you. I'd love some of your coffee, please.
I hope...
Corey's moving in a little bit later, but the blizzard's going to hit outside of town. Mrs. Lancaster, was anybody looking for me here this morning? Perhaps a state official, maybe a blue hat, gun, nightstick?
Oh, no, no one like that. Will there be?
Apparently not.
He kisses her on the lips. This is a nice moment.
Hey, Phil!
In the culmination of the Ned Ryerson material.
Hey, Phil Connors!
Ned?
Do whatever he wants. In Danny Rubin's original script, that's sort of how it started. He's walking down the street, Ned runs up and he punches him, and then in the narration he says, you'll understand why I'm doing this. This is the other big moment of knowing that not to step in the puddle. And of course, what would I do if there were no tomorrow? Eat everything in sight.
I like to see a man of advancing years.
We asked Bill when we were shooting this, do you want a spit bucket? Often when an actor is doing a scene with food, particularly in commercials, it happens a lot. Rather than swallow all that food, you turn and spit it into a bucket that's just off camera. Bill said, no, I don't need it. It's fine. So he actually consumed a tremendous amount of food in this scene. Made himself a little sick.
I don't worry about anything anymore.
What makes you so special? Everybody worries about something.
Well, that's exactly what makes me so special.
This moment in particular, he ate many pieces of that angel food cake.
Oh.
What?
The wretch concentered all in self. Living shall forfeit fair renown, and doubly dying shall go down. To the vile dust from whence he sprung, unwept, unhonored, and unsung, Sir Walter Scott. What, you don't like poetry?
I love poetry. I just thought that was Willard Scott. I was confused. You think I'm acting like this because I'm egocentric?
I know you're egocentric. It's your defining characteristic.
Are you guys ready? We better get going if we're going to stay ahead of the weather.
Thanks, Larry. Well, would you like a doggy bag?
No, I'm going to stay here and finish.
I thought you hated this town.
Well, it's beginning to grow on me. Larry, quit staring. These are excellent.
Bon appetit.
That's Marita Garrity in the pink outfit, and Bill notices her.
Hey, did you see the groundhog this morning?
This whole sequence of chatting up the woman, finding out what he needs to know about her, and then using it on her later, I thought was very well conceived.
Taylor, and you are?
What high school did you go to?
What?
High school.
Lincoln, in Pittsburgh. Who are you?
Who was your 12th grade English teacher?
Are you kidding?
No. In 12th grade, your English teacher was...
Mrs. Walsh.
Mrs. Walsh, yeah. Nancy. Lincoln. Walsh. Okay, thanks very much.
Hey!
I don't know if the audience is way ahead of that or not, but I love him setting that trap. I don't think people were totally clear on how he was going to use it.
Nancy Taylor! Lincoln High School! I sat next to you in Mrs. Walsh's English class.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Phil Connors.
Wow, that's amazing.
You don't remember me, do you?
Marita has that great Chicago accent. It's very hard to duplicate.
Phil Connors?
I was short and I've sprouted.
Yeah. Gosh, how are you?
Great.
I love Bill in the evil parts of this character, when he manipulates people. he's very effective in it.
Listen, I gotta go do this report.
Are you a reporter?
I'm a weatherman with Channel 9 Pittsburgh.
Wow, gosh, I should have known. That's great.
But maybe later we could...
Yeah, whatever.
Stay right here.
That's true. He's as sincerely bad as he is sincerely good later.
Okay. Wish me luck.
Good luck!
Fake fire. Curled up in front of the fake fire. Pretty tame. That's PG-13 stuff.
Phil.
Oh, Rita.
He called her Rita.
Who's Rita?
How should I know?
What is this, some kind of one-night stand?
On the contrary, Lindsay. I love you. I've always loved you. This is going to seem sudden, but... Nancy, will you be my wife?
Oh, Phil.
Rita.
Nancy.
Whatever.
This whole thing of having the power to do whatever you want is, I think it's such a delightful fantasy for people.
The dog barks.
No one knows what he's doing here, but obviously he's planned this thing for a long time. He knows everything that's going to happen. In Danny's original script, believe it or not, Danny had him living the same day over and over again for 10,000 years, which is actually a kind of a Buddhist, it's a convenient Buddhist catchphrase. Everything seems to take 10,000 years in Buddhism. But we thought we should reduce the scope of it for the audience. It's hard for people to get their minds around the idea that this could go on that long. Danny had a device of Phil marking time because the calendar wouldn't change. So the way he marked time was to read one page in the books in the library of the bed and breakfast until he'd read through all the books more than once.
Felix, what? Did I bring out two bags or what? I don't know.
And that's on the left is our production manager, Doc Erickson, playing one of the guards. There's a Clint Eastwood scene. For some reason, Bill decided to do the voice of Clint Eastwood. Why is he dressed as Clint Eastwood? Because he can.
Oh, I thought we were going to a costume party.
It's like I said, I love this film. I've seen it over 100 times.
Phil?
Told you. Call me Bronco.
Sorry, Bronco.
Hi, Nancy.
Sandy Mashmeyer is her name.
My old fiancé. Doesn't remember me.
Hi.
That'll be one adult and...
Bill improvises.
Two adults.
One adult and...
Groundhog.
We also had him like throwing a party back in the bed and breakfast, a very wild party with every weirdo in the area at the party, and him sort of presiding over the weirdness as if nothing mattered. But now he's turning his attention to Rita.
What are you dying of?
No, I mean the whole world is about to explode. What do you do?
I just want to know where to put the camera. What are you looking for, Phil? A date for the weekend?
No, I'm just interested in you. You know, what do you want? What do you like? You know, what do you think about?
Andy McDowell came from Gaffney, South Carolina, where the accent is very thick. And for this film, she asked me if she could use her something like her real accent, which I thought was fine. I wanted her to be as natural as possible. In other films, you'll see Andy McDowell with virtually no accent, but here she's got a bit of that Gaffney, South Carolina.
All right.
So what do you want out of life, anyway?
I guess I want what everybody wants, you know. Career, love, marriage, children.
Are you seeing anyone?
I think this is getting too personal.
He's laying the groundwork. He's investigating Rita. See what he needs to know
about
her.
How about you? What do you want?
What I really want is someone like you.
Oh, please.
Well, why not? What are you looking for?
Who is your perfect guy?
Well, first of all, he's too humble to know he's perfect.
That's me.
That's me.
Intelligent,
too humble to know he's
supportive,
perfect.
Supportive, funny.
Intelligent, supportive, funny. Me.
He's
Bill romantic. Actually believes all this about himself, I want you to know.
Me also.
He's got a good body, but he doesn't have to look in the mirror every 2 minutes.
I have a great body, and sometimes I go months without looking.
He's kind, sensitive, and gentle. He's not afraid to cry in front of me.
This is a man we're talking about, right?
He likes animals and children, and he'll change poopy diapers.
Does he have to say
Does
poopy?
He have to use the word poopy?
Oh, and he plays an instrument, and he loves his mother.
I am really close on this one. Really, really close.
Right, putting the plan in action. That's my cousin on the right and his wife.
Oh, Connor.
Hello.
That's Eric and Leanne.
Thanks for watching.
So he's pulled the distributor, so to keep them in town now. The jailhouse restaurant again.
So, what are the chances of getting out today?
Van still won't start. Larry's working on it.
When we were writing the script, I really looked forward to these scenes, these jump cut scenes of him doing the same dialogue over and over, refining his approach to Rita.
For you, miss.
Sweet vermouth in the rocks with a twist, please.
What are the chances of getting out of town today?
The van still won't start. Larry's working on it.
Oh, wouldn't you know it. Can I buy you a drink?
Okay.
Sweet vermouth, rocks with a twist, please.
For you, miss?
The same. That's my favorite drink.
Mine, too. It always makes me think of Rome. The way the sun hits the buildings in the afternoon.
He's so delightfully insincere.
Well, what should we drink to?
To the groundhog.
I always drink to world peace.
Okay, one more try. World peace, he's got it now.
Can I buy you a drink?
We made it sweet vermouth because that's what my wife orders.
Sweet vermouth, rocks with a twist, please.
For you, miss?
The same. That's my favorite drink.
Mine, too. It always makes me think of Rome. The way the sun hits the buildings in the afternoon.
Well, what should we drink to?
I like to say a prayer and drink to world peace.
So the idea of saying a prayer, that's Bill's embellishment.
This is wonderful.
Sorry, can I tell you?
When we were shooting this scene in the fudge shop, Mike Haley, the assistant director, often arranges jokes and pranks. So they, for no reason at all, they rehearsed the scene in French. And Bill was speaking pidgin French at the time. He'd actually taken a year off and lived in Paris. And they did it in French gibberish, but it felt very French. So Mike Haley actually had a bistro accordionist come in and surprise them while they were playing the scene.
At high altitude. That's where I see myself.
This is a German restaurant in Chicago called the Heidelberger Foss we were shooting. That's where I found out that the German word for woodchuck is Marmultier.
Mm-hmm. Of course, it's about a million miles from where I started out in college.
You weren't in broadcasting and journalism?
Mm-mm. Believe it or not, I studied 19th century French poetry.
What a waste of time.
Waste of time.
He's such a bad
for
man.
For someone else, that would be an incredible waste of time. It's so bold of you to choose that. It's incredible. You must be a very, very strong person.
Pathetic backtracking on that.
I think people place too much emphasis on their careers. Gosh, I wish we could all live in the mountains. At high altitudes. That's where I see myself in 5 years. How about you?
Oh, I agree. I just like to go with the flow.
Yeah?
See what happens.
Well, it's gotten you here.
Uh-huh. Of course, it's a million miles from where I started out in college.
Oh, yeah? You weren't in broadcasting or journalism, anything like that?
And she says she studied French.
I studied 19th century French poetry.
Well, he says a poem in French. But it's really a lyric from a Jacques Brel song. And it's probably Belgian. Something about my love gets better every day, like wine. Something like that. We made a lot of snow. We carried this 40-foot trailer truck with an ice chipper, and it was full of 200-pound blocks of ice.
I hope that one day I could do this with my own children.
Where did you get that?
Well, I went over to the snowman shop.
Hey, an assassin! I'll protect you, Your Majesty. I shall die for you. You shall not take her. Find cover, my lady.
Those lovely kids. We told them just throw hard at Bill. That kid almost took his head off. Bill throw really hard back at the kid. I think this was a real snowfall. We lucked out several times in the movie. At the very beginning of the film, we were before we started shooting, we were having a production meeting, planning the shoot, and we looked out the windows of the big hotel banquet room we were having the production meeting in. The whole crew was there, of course. We see it starting to snow, and I see Mike Haley's eyebrow goes up, AD, and he says, let's go shoot this. And everyone rushed out of the room. We jumped in the trucks and went out and shot the establishing shots of the movie. John Bailey's a cinematographer. He did a great job. The audience might not be aware of it, but, of course, at night you only see what's lit, and John did such a great natural job of lighting the houses in the area.
Well, do you like the way this day is turning out?
I like it very much. It's a perfect day. You couldn't have planned a day like this.
Well, you can. It just takes an awful lot of work. Come on in, I want to show you.
Did I mention that I kept that overcoat?
I don't think I should, Bill.
Oh, I don't think you should either. That's why I'm just going to show you this one thing and kick you right out. Just give me 1 minute.
You'd think it was an easy wardrobe show to do because everyone wore the same things every day.
Just lovely.
Would you like to sit and stare at the fake fire?
Okay. It's a really wonderful room.
It is now.
I don't know, Bill. I don't think we should do this.
I don't either. You know, on second thought, I think we shouldn't. It's the perfect end to a perfect day.
Andy's laughter in these scenes is pretty genuine. She really thought Bill was funny.
Maybe I should go.
Where would you go? Why? You've got a perfect fire. I've got some French poetry.
There's also something completely mercurial about Bill, because you never know what he's going to do. It keeps you in a constant state of tension, like not unpleasant tension, but it's tense expectation, like what's going to happen next. And for an actor, actors tend to depend on the dialogue. You know what the other actor is going to do. That's part of your security. One thing about our Second City training is we never know what's going to happen, and it keeps everyone in a kind of a hysterical state.
No, Bill, really.
Come on, just stay for a while, and then if you like it, stay for a while longer, and if you like it, stay for a while longer.
Let's not spoil it, okay?
Not spoiling it. I don't want to spoil it either.
You know I can't stay with you.
Why not? I love you.
You love me?
I love you.
You don't even know me.
Oh, I know you. I know you.
He's trying to manipulate her, and even though he thinks he has affection for her,
this whole day is just
it's not real, and she senses it.
No, it hasn't.
And I hate fudge. Yuck.
No white chocolate, no fudge.
What are you doing? Are you making some kind of list or something?
No.
Did you call up my friends and ask them what I like and what I don't like?
No.
Is this what love is for you?
No, this is real. This is love.
Stop saying that. You must be crazy. I could never love someone like you, Phil, because you'll never love anyone but yourself.
That's not true. I don't even like myself. Give me another chance.
That's for making me care about you.
The slaps. We decided sometime, I think we decided in production to do this montage of slaps, just to pick up a lot of slaps in different places, which is upcoming. But Bill's extremely funny here, where he's just desperately trying to recapture the magic of the night that was working.
I want to adopt, I want to have my own kids, I want to have foster kids. I got this over at Snowman City. Look for him around the house. Hey, some kid just threw a snowball at him. Hey, come here. Let's have some fun.
Any kids up for adoption?
Hey, kids, come on. I wish these were my own kids hitting me like this. Hey. Hey, ow, ow. Are any of you up for adoption?
And then they falls down in the snow on purpose. Look at this. I love the way he repositions himself, trying to just catch the right moment.
Stop it!
We just shot slaps wherever we were. And Bill, of course, the macho dude that he is, said, "You go ahead, hit me. You can hit me hard. It's okay." By the end of the sequence, he was ready to punch her right in the mouth. His face was swelling up. These were ice sculptures that we had professional carvers come in and do. Part of the Groundhog Day festivities. Because you get the symbolism of the frozen man. His emotions are frozen. Now becomes the depressed state. Danny had based Bill's progression on Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's five stages of death and dying. And that's Phil's journey, basically. He first goes through denial. He doesn't believe it. Then he's angry that it's happening. And then he gets depressed about it. And then this is the depression. And then there's bargaining. And then finally acceptance.
And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there today. It's cold out there every day.
This country's largest lake, Chapala, is located near the city of Guadalajara.
What is Mexico?
Leslie.
What is Mexico?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers 400.
Seneca is the largest of these lakes in west central New York.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Jim.
What are the Finger Lakes?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers for 600.
This South American lake drains into the smaller lake.
What is Titicaca?
In Bolivia. Jim.
What is Titicaca?
Correct.
Lakes and rivers for 1,000.
Milky colored from
what
glacial
is the
clay when entering Lake Geneva.
What is the Rhone? He's so sinister when he turns sort and does that.
Jim. What is the Rhone?
The Rhone. Good for $1,000. You are $500 off the lead right now.
It's better than
yes, he's working himself up into a virtually suicidal depression.
Freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Not like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it.
That's a true fact. The origins of Groundhog Day. It was more of a groundhog hunt.
You got a problem with what I'm saying, Larry? Untie your tongue and you come out here and talk, huh? Am I upsetting you, Princess? You know, you want a prediction about the weather. You're asking the wrong Phil. I'll give you a winter prediction. It's going to be cold. It's going to be gray, and it's going to last you for the rest of your life.
He's reached total nihilism at this point. Radio smashing montage. The shot earlier of the big numbers, is that coming up, or is that... I guess it was earlier. We actually constructed a very large model of the inside of the clock and shot at super high speed.
Once again, the eyes of the nation have turned here to this
blah, 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 blah.
Tiny village in western Pennsylvania. Blah, 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 blah. There is no way that this winter is ever going to end as long as this groundhog keeps seeing his shadow. I don't see any other way out. He's got to be stopped. And I have to stop him.
Real good, Phil. Real good.
He's out of his gourd.
I'm worried. I think there's something really wrong with Phil.
Andy's would sometimes ask me for line readings, which always sounded weird coming out of her mouth, but something really wrong with Phil. That's her version of a line reading I gave her.
I just want you to remember we had a beautiful day together once.
All right, little fella. Good job. He just smiled at me. Did you see that?
I believe he did.
Okay, little fella. There you go.
Hi there, mister. Something I can do you for? Hey! Hey, what are you doing? Hey!
Hey! Get the word out! Somebody kidnapped Phil! We're going after him!
Why would anybody steal a groundhog?
I could probably think of a couple of reasons.
Herbert.
These don't really qualify as car stunts, just some fast driving in the Woodstock area. But this was the sequence where Bill lets the groundhog drive. And the groundhog was... We did way too many takes. The groundhog was in the truck for a long time. He was starting to get a little upset. And then there's only so much of this he wanted to do. So one frame after we cut away, he turns and bites Bill really hard on the finger. I think he bit through the glove.
Huh? Hey, they're chasing us. Come on, make it fun.
That was the end of the shooting for that day. I think he got nipped twice before we wrapped the scene. Yeah, that was it. Right after that. Then Bill had to go get a rabies shot or something. You got him now.
Hot dog! There's no way out except the way we came in. We got him now.
Go out in a blaze of glory.
What the hell is he doing?
We built a jump ramp on the edge of a very deep stone quarry, which is just off to the left of... it might actually be a different location, though. I'm not sure that these piles of stone are even related to the quarry where we did the jump. But on a Sunday... Or it was a Saturday, maybe, with the second unit. No, that is the quarry. So the second unit did this. We all went out and watched, though. Our stunt coordinator just drove a truck off the edge of the quarry. We didn't know it would turn over like that and land on the hood, but it was a nice effect. Then I love Chris's line.
He might be okay.
Probably not now.
Well, no, probably not now.
But even death is no escape. He still wakes up.
I'm nuts.
So he keeps trying. This is the... comes and gets the toaster.
Did you sleep well, Mr. Connors? Would you like some toast?
The stuntman who does this fall is a guy named Rick LaFever. We told him we want him to swan dive and hold his position as long as he could. He's falling into like a 12-foot airbag. I realized that almost every one of my movies had a high fall.
He was a really, really great guy. I really, really liked him. A lot.
This is, I think, shot at a hospital in Chicago. That was a defunct hospital called Martha Washington.
Sorry, what was that again?
I'm a god.
You're a god.
I'm a god. I'm not the god, I don't think.
Because you survived a car wreck? You folks ready to order?
I didn't just survive a wreck. I wasn't just blown up yesterday. I have been stabbed, shot, poisoned, frozen, hung, electrocuted, and burned.
Oh, really?
And every morning I wake up without a scratch on me, not a dent in the fender. I am an immortal.
Special today is blueberry waffles.
Why are you telling me this?
Because I want you to believe in me.
You're not a god. You can take my word for it. This is 12 years of Catholic school talking.
I could come back if you're not ready.
How do you know I'm not a god?
Oh, please.
How do you know?
Because it's not possible.
Robin Duke is in Club Paradise. She's plays Mary Gross's best friend. And she has a kind of a small part in Multiplicity. And I really like this actress.
Oh, boy, what are you doing?
This is Debbie Kleiser and her fiancé, Fred.
Oh, I know you.
They're supposed to be getting married this afternoon, but Debbie is having second thoughts.
What?
Lovely ring.
This is Bill. He's been a waiter for 3 years since he left Penn State and had to get work. He likes the town, he paints toy soldiers, and he's gay.
I am.
This is Gus. He hates his life here. He wishes he stayed in the Navy.
Well, I could have retired on half pay after 20 years.
Excuse me. This is some kind of trick.
Well, maybe the real God uses tricks. You know, maybe he's not omnipotent. He's just been around for long. He knows everything.
Oh, okay. Well, who's that?
This is Tom. He worked in the coal mine until they closed the town.
And her?
It's Alice. Came over here from Ireland when she was a baby. She lived in Erie most of her life.
He's right. And her?
Nancy. She works in the dress shop and makes noises like a chipmunk when she gets real excited.
Hey!
It's true.
How do you know these people?
I told you, I know everything. In about 5 seconds, a waiter's going to drop a tray of dishes. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay?
Okay, that's enough. Oh, yeah. What about me, Phil? Do you know me, too?
I know all about you. You like producing, but you hope for more than channeling.
He gets really nice
well,
in this speech, I think.
You like boats, but not the ocean. You go to a lake in the summer with your family up in the mountains. There's a long wooden dock and a boathouse with boards missing from the roof. And a place you used to crawl underneath to be alone. You're a sucker for French poetry and rhinestones. You're very generous. You're kind to strangers and children. And when you stand in the snow, you look like an angel.
George Benton wrote some beautiful music for these next few scenes, too, I think.
I wake up every day right here, right in Punxsutawney, and it's always February 2nd. And there's nothing I can do about it. If you still can't believe me, listen. In 10 seconds, Larry is going to come through that door and take you away from me. But you can't let him. Please believe me. You've got to believe me.
You guys ready? We better get going if we're going to stay ahead of the weather. What's that?
If we're going to stay ahead of the weather. Hmm.
Maybe it really is happening. I mean, how else could you know so much?
Well, there is no way. I'm not that smart.
Maybe I should spend the rest of the day with you as an objective witness, just to see what happens.
Gee, this sounds like a science project. Concentrate. You gotta want it. You gotta want it, Rita. Oh, come on. It's more in the wrist than the finger. It's just gotta... Be the hat. Come on, go. Be the hat.
It would take me a year to get good at this.
No, 6 months. 4 to 5 hours a day, and you'd be an expert.
Is this what you do with eternity?
Now you know.
She's so natural.
That's not the worst part.
There were times when I was shooting close-ups of Andy, and I'd forget to say cut. I'd just be staring at the monitor and just keep watching.
You're like a jerk again.
No.
It's all right. I am a jerk.
No, you're not.
It doesn't make any difference. I've killed myself so many times, I don't even exist anymore.
Well, sometimes I wish I had 1,000 lifetimes. I don't know, Phil. Maybe it's not a curse. It just depends on how you look at it.
Gosh, you're an upbeat lady.
I want you to know it's been a really nice day for me.
Me too.
And maybe, if it's not too boring, we could do it again sometime.
I hope so.
You're still here. Oh, I thought you were supposed to disappear, or I was, or something.
Not until 6.
Oh, you rat!
I never said midnight.
You knew I was waiting for midnight.
Does this mean you're going to leave?
Oh, no.
Good.
Okay.
I hope I'm not giving anything too personal away, but in this next scene, Bill talks to Andy while she's asleep. He says the things to her that he can't say when she's awake.
Much.
That's all right.
And this was actually Bill's idea. I guess on his
I think the last thing that you
on his wedding night, he and his wife drank too much champagne, and she fell asleep. And he actually talked to her while she was asleep. When we were editing the film, we thought, well, this takes forever, you know, pulling up the covers and getting comfortable. But I had shot it with virtually no coverage. There were no singles, so I couldn't, I had nothing to cut away to. And
what I wanted to say was,
we just decided to invest in it and let it play full length. And
sweetest, prettiest person I've ever met in my life. I've never seen anyone that's nicer to people than you are. And the first time I saw you, something happened to me. I never told you then. I knew that I wanted to hold you as hard as I could. I don't deserve someone like you. But if I ever could, I swear I would love you.
Did you say something?
Good night, Rita.
It's nice. Our associate producer, Suzanne Harrington, in all the films she's worked on with me, there's always a moment when she actually falls in love with the character, and that was her moment for falling in love with Phil. Maybe for the audience, too. New man, he's got a whole new plan.
Coffee. Get it while it's hot.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
Larry, skim milk, 2 sugar.
Yeah, thanks, Bill.
Pastry?
No, we're just setting up.
Pastry, Larry, take your pick. Thanks, Bill. Raspberry, great.
See, I was just talking with Buster Green. He's the head groundhog honcho. And he said if we set up over here, we might get a better shot.
That's a reference to when we had the moment when the groundhog scampers away.
Yeah,
but
let's go for it.
Good work, Bill.
The audience can't wouldn't know that, but it didn't seem to matter anyway.
No, you got your coffee. Okay. We never talk, Larry. Do you have kids?
I don't know if anyone ever connects that the music is supposed to be coming from that radio, but. Yeah, I'll play the piano. I love this little moment of throwing the little girl piano student out.
Yes, I'd like a piano lesson, please.
Oh, okay. I'm with a student now, but if you want to come back tomorrow, I can probably...
Well, I kind of want to get started. I could give you $1,000.
Buddy.
Goodbye. And this little girl, she did that nice little stumble there.
Morning! About to see the groundhog.
Buongiorno, signore.
You think it's going to be an early spring?
Winter, slumbering in the open air. Wears on his smiling face a dream of spring. Ciao.
Ciao.
I always love the way John Bailey lit this scene. Of course, that's artificial light coming through that window. Bill started with an almost finished ice sculpture and just kind of worked around the base. But that's how they do it, with a chainsaw.
Rita, hi.
Hey, Lear.
Hi.
How's she look?
Great.
Thank you.
Did you know he could ice sculpt?
No.
Bill actually devoted himself to trying to learn to play the variations on a theme, Paganini, by Rachmaninoff. So that's actually Bill doing that.
Not bad.
He got about that far. But he doesn't read music. He had to do it by ear.
My father was a piano mover, so.
Phil?
This is one of Bill's best improvised moments. We knew he was going to hug him, but...
I have missed you so much.
When Bill says that and, you know, hugs him way too long...
I don't know where you're headed, but can you call in sick?
He was just supposed to say, I've missed you so much, and then Bill adds, I don't know where you're headed, but can you call in sick? We used to have a scene where we showed him playing this piano piece expertly at a lesson, but we thought we wouldn't reveal that he could play expertly until the end of the movie. Les Podwell unfortunately passed away, I think last year, maybe 2 years ago. On the phone there is Kathy Kellogg, who has worked for me for a long time. She used to take care of my kids. Now she has a master's degree in psychology.
It was just his time.
I want to see his chart. Excuse me.
Sir. Sir, you can't come in here. Sir, this is a restricted area.
Where's the chart?
Sometimes people just die.
This whole thing about the old homeless man dying, at one point the studio said, gee, that's kind of down, isn't it? A little too downbeat for the audience. And we had to insist on the fact that, you know, without death, without making some ultimate statement that would really make the movie kind of toothless in a certain way, we thought it was very important that Phil confront the reality that he's not God, that his grandiosity is just a sham, and that you can only do so much in life. But by losing the old man and realizing that he's in a way powerless, it forces him to do as much as he can physically do for other people. I call this next section of the movie the Superman section, because I'd always thought about if you were Superman, how could you justify just hanging out with Lois Lane? Or there's always something you should or could be doing. So we send Phil off on this. Phil just tries to do everything he can possibly do in a day that's good. He tries to help as many people as possible. He tries to be there for everybody, as I would want Superman to be. But here he makes his beautiful speech, and he's completely radiant.
It's been a long and lustrous winter. From Punxsutawney, it's Phil Connors. So long.
Now he's thoroughly good Phil. He's really become good Phil here.
Thank you.
Thanks. How was that for you, too?
Hey, man, you touch me.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
I gotta go. Okay.
Hey, Phil. That was surprising. I didn't know you were so versatile.
I surprise myself sometimes.
Well, where are you going? Would you like to get a cup of coffee?
I'd love to. Can I have a rain check? I've got some errands I've got to run. Okay?
Phil! Errands? What errands? I thought we were going back.
He has to run to catch the kid falling out of the tree. But the kid is actually, in this upcoming shot, the kid has just sort of fallen off a plank that we had set just out of camera height. But still, a kid that big falling, even from a short distance, it did hurt Bill's back.
See you tomorrow, maybe.
Lovely actresses, Barbara Ann Grimes, Ann Heakin, and Lucina Packett. They were very funny to work with. They were so happy to be in the movie.
Thank you, young man.
It's nothing, ma'am. I had the tie and the jack. Just be comfortable, all right? Give me a minute.
Who's that? Must be from the motor club.
Oh, my God, he is having a heart attack, too.
This is at the same German restaurant in Chicago. Brian Doyle Murray choking on a piece of steak. That's my lawyer right behind Brian's wife. You'll see him as Bill walks by, David Kahn.
If you're going to eat steak, get some sharper teeth, all right? Enjoy
your meal. Oh, thank you.
And then Bill stops to light a cigarette for Lindsay Albert, Trevor's wife.
No, people just don't understand what is involved in this. This is an art form. You know, I think that most people just think that I hold a camera and point it at stuff. There is a heck of a lot more to it than just that. Hey, would you be at all interested in seeing the inside of the van?
Oh, you know, I really have to get back to the party.
Great idea. I think I'll go with you. Let me just drop a tip.
Right, Chris puts down $2, takes one back. Okay.
Rita, hi.
Hi.
How are you? Rita, this is Nancy.
Hi.
Nancy, Rita. We were just going to go to the party. You going to go?
Yeah, sounds like fun. Maybe we should call Phil. Phil Connors? I think he's already in there.
Great.
We shot the party at the local Elks Club, I believe. Or Moose Lodge, one of those. Phil doing a pretty good job miming this piano piece. We figured he'd really been, the day had been repeating for about 10 years. That's how he gets so good at the piano. Just playing Brian Delmar's wife, who's named Brenda Pickleman, and she gives out pickle pens for people to remember her. It's a ballpoint pen that looks like a pickle.
I'm so proud.
Thank you. Hello, welcome to our party.
Bill, I didn't know you could play like that.
Oh, I'm versatile.
Nice young man from the motor club. Thank you again.
It's nothing, ladies.
He's the fastest jack in Jefferson County.
What was that all about?
I really don't know. They've been hitting on me all night.
There you
are. Brenda Pickleman?
I never thanked you properly for what you did for Buster. Well, he would have choked for sure.
Well, he may have. He was trying to swallow a whole cow.
I owe you one, buddy.
Hang on to him, dear. He's a real find.
What did you do today?
In the original script, this was actually supposed to be a wedding. Even though we changed it to just a groundhog party, which made more sense. So this is a lovely young actress named Hindon Walsh and a guy named Michael Shannon. They're very sweet and nice in the movie.
You are the best.
No, you are the best. Rita, this is Debbie and Fred Kleiser.
Hi.
Here you go, kids. Congratulations.
No way.
WrestleMania! No way! No way!
Oh, we're like gonna be in Pittsburgh anyway.
Thank you, Mr. Connors. You're a real pal.
Oh, this is the best.
I don't understand.
I guess not.
How does everyone know you? I mean, you only come here once a year.
Anyway, when I read that wedding scene where he knows everyone and he's helped everyone and the whole town's been touched by him, I actually got tears in my eyes when I read it, which is when I really decided that I wanted to do this movie.
Dr. Connors?
It's kind of an honorary title.
What is going on?
I really don't know.
No, there is something going on with you.
Would you like the long version or the short one?
Let's start with the short and go from there.
Okay, folks, attention. Time for the big bachelor auction. Now you all know the rules. All the eligible bachelors come down in front. And you ladies, you bid on them. You get to do whatever you want with them. No questions asked.
I don't want to know about it as long as it's legal. Okay, so get out your pocketbooks and remember, it's all for charity.
Phil, what are you doing down here? Come on, get up there. I got $10 that says you're mine.
Hey, Buster, I got your first victim.
Phil Connors, come on up here. All right, now what am I bid for this fine specimen?
$5.
The bidding has begun at $5.
$10.
$15.
$20.
$25.
$30.
$35.
$40.
$45.
$50.
$55.
$60.
I bid $60. Do I hear more?
$339.88.
I just got two of mine now.
Well, I don't think we're going to accept any more bids. I think that's sold. The little lady bet $300.
As I get older, I cry a lot more at movies. I cried in X-Men.
Okay, that's for you, sir. Now, what am I bid for this guy? Well, here, $1.50. Anybody? 75 cents.
I bid $2.
Sold, little lady, for 25 cents.
I got him!
Phil Connors, I thought that was
Andy
you.
Says to
Ted Ryerson, he's my new insurance agent.
Ted Ryerson asked them to spend the night on the town with him, and
I have not seen this guy.
Andy says, let's not spoil it. You'll hear her say that in a minute.
Fire, theft, auto, dental, health, with the optional death and dismemberment plan, water damage. Phil, this is the best day of my life.
Mine too.
Mine too.
Where are we going?
Oh, let's not spoil it.
She says let's not spoil it, but it was scripted as let's not ruin it. But with Andy's accent, she kept saying, let's not ruin it. And I'd say, no, Andy, it's ruin, ruin. And she'd go, ruin, ruin. So we finally changed the line, let's not spoil it. Bill's working on a snow carving here, which was actually sculpted in L.A. by a professional artist. And they sent us 3 or 4 frozen heads, which we then worked on.
Is it finished yet?
Almost. I still have to put some cherry syrup on the top, and then we can eat it.
Come on, Phil. I'm freezing.
One second. All right. Now, let me turn in the light.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. How did you do that?
I know your face so well, I could have done it with my eyes closed.
Lovely. I don't know what to say.
I do. No matter what happens tomorrow or for the rest of my life, I'm happy now because I love you.
I think I'm happy too.
It's fake snow falling. You can see it in her hair. But when they turn around in the wide shot and walk away, it actually started to snow that night. A very lovely snowfall, which we never would have gotten just by chance. Just we lucked out. A psychologist wrote a scholarly piece on this movie in the Journal of Object Relations Therapy. and actually kind of said the end of the movie really shows that Bill had not progressed that far because he still felt he needed a woman to complete his life. I thought that was hair-splitting, but you be the judge.
That is a great song.
No, it's not.
Don't listen to this man.
We shot 25 takes of this scene because we couldn't. The dialogue had to be, we thought, just perfect. Not too much, not too little. We had a huge debate about whether they would be dressed, would they be wearing pajamas, day clothes, you know what. And we actually took a vote of everyone on the set, all the crew members, about whether they had made love the night before. So would they be in their underwear? Would they be naked? Would they be in clothing? And the cast and crew voted that they had not yet made love, and that they would still be in their clothes. It didn't matter that they had made love yet or not.
So I stayed.
But 25 takes to get this dialogue right, and when they finally got it, we just kept honing it and changing it, and finally they got it right. We do a lot of rewriting on the set as well as improvised. That's another lucky break. We'd actually had a great snowfall overnight one night, very late in the season. I think it was in April, and or maybe late March, and we adjusted the schedule so we would shoot the very last scene of the movie much earlier than we anticipated because the snow was so perfect. We didn't have to make any snow for that scene.
Phil, why weren't you like this last night? You just fell asleep.
It was the end of a very long day. Is there anything I can do for you today?
I'm sure I could think of something.
To me, Annie always looks like she's 12 years old in this scene. Not when she's kissing him, of course. That would be really perverse. But she looks very sweet. And George Fenton's lovely music swells. We go through the fake ice on the window. It's very hard to put a button on a scene in one line, but Bill came up with "Let's live here," and then he had to, such a cynic. He had to add "We'll rent to start."
Let's live here.
What a day. But it's still completely sweet, and I thought the lyrics of Nat Cole's singing this, what a day this has been. We couldn't open the gate because there was too much snow and ice, so that's why I had to lift her over the gate. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. You know, I'm actually such a sap. I believe in all this stuff, and the movie's quite sincere. And as I explained earlier, we got a tremendous response from people of all religions and creeds and philosophies, and I'm immensely proud of the movie for touching people on so many levels. Why, it's almost like being in love. Here's a reprise of the song. Did I mention I wrote this song? Mike Haley's done 5 pictures with me as assistant director. Whitney White worked for my company for 15 years. She's just leaving the company. Now it's the only job she's had is since leaving college. Script supervisor Judy Townsend. We've done about 4 or 5 pictures together. Sally Bolt, very good music editor. went back to college at Harvard for a master's degree, or MIT. Judd Nissen, production office assistant. Mother is a realtor who sold me my house in Chicago. Jennifer Bird, father owned the limo company. Then she came to work for us in L.A. as an assistant. Donna Bassett cuts all the negatives. Weatherman, written by George Fenton and Harold Ramis. Well, pleasure making the movie. Hope everyone enjoyed it.